In this bonus episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'm going to play episode 5 of White Canes Connect. Lisa and I talked to Harriet, Jan, and Desmond all about Believe You Can, which is coming up October 16th.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 147 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for this bonus episode of the I Can't See You podcast, which is going to be episode 5 of White Canes Connect. That episode is going to drop today here, but later on at its normal home over on the NFB of Pennsylvania website, nfbp.org/White Canes Connect. And we are actually working on a White Canes Connect website. So that will be coming soon. I'm actually doing the work for that. And hopefully that will coincide once the show is on all the podcast directories. I've been working on getting the White Canes Connect on the podcast directories. I wanted today's episode for White Canes Connect, and the one that's going to drop tomorrow, another bonus episode, to get out as quickly as possible. And sometimes when they have to go up on the NFB of Pennsylvania website, it takes a little while, and these are very time-specific. So please enjoy episode 5 of White Canes Connect. It's all about Believe You Can. The next voice you're going to hear is that of Jan Latuca.
Hi, this is Jan Latuca from the Keystone Chapter, and you're listening to White Canes Connect.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 5 of White Canes Connect, presented by the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is David Goldstein. I'm a member of the Keystone Chapter, and joining me as always, co-host and fellow Keystone Chapter member, Lisa Bryant. Lisa, how are you today?
Hey, David, how are you? Yeah, here we are, second time around, and it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. Already talking to a wide range of talent. And I think that's what makes this so cool, is that you have people from all over, either within or outside of the NFB, all very talented people with various levels of visual impairment. And, you know, just so excited to be sharing their talent. That's their drive. They just want to share their talent. And I think that's what makes this event so cool, because it kind of levels the playing field. Like, we may have these visual impairments, but we're just like any other artist wants to share our gift.
Exactly. And it's also cool how far folks are coming from. And I know that I've seen some emails from people that want to know if it was going to be virtual this year, wondering how they could do it, because they're not from Pennsylvania, and they're not from the Philadelphia area, which, again, Believe You Can is presented by the Keystone Chapter of the NFB of PA. So eventually, once pandemic season is over, we're hoping to have it in a venue with a stage and actual audience members. And at that point, we'll have to see if we can continue to add a virtual component to that. But, and I look forward to that day where we can actually be on a stage, because that would be very cool. But it's, again, the virtual aspect of it, being able to have folks from all around the country come on, just makes it that much better to me.
Great segue into who our guests are for this episode.
It really is, Lisa. We've got Jan Latuca, a member of the Keystone Chapter, who won the whole thing last year. We've got last year's second place winner, Desmond Jackson, who is from the Greater Baltimore Chapter of the NFB of Maryland. And again, you don't have to be a member of the National Federation of the Blind to perform. You've just got to be blind or visually impaired. And we're also going to welcome in Harriet Goh. Harriet is the president of the Keystone Chapter. She's going to give us some insight to Believe You Can and how it all got started. Let's get to the interview. Harriet, Jan, and Desmond, thanks so much for being here tonight.
Thanks, David, for having us.
For having us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is really great to have you guys. I was just saying earlier to David, I think this is going to be really fun. We have with us a performer from last year, actually last year's top winner, Jan Letuka, as well as Desmond Jackson from the Greater Baltimore chapter, and Harriet Goh, president of the Keystone chapter. How are you, Harriet?
I am doing wonderful, Lisa, and yourself? How are you?
I am doing really well. Like I said, super excited about this. Harriet, I thought it'd be good to kind of start with you telling everyone about how Believe You Can even came to be. And, you know, we can all, you know, kind of reflect on last year. And then we can also segue into this year. Believe You Can, this is our formerly known as Meet the Blind Month fundraising event. Meet the Blind Month now has a new name. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that as well.
Sure. Thanks, Lisa. So the idea of Believe You Can actually has a story that is still quite appropriate for the times. But because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we started meeting virtually for our monthly chapter meetings instead of meeting in person, which, you know, kind of turned our worlds upside down, to say the least. And it also affected our NFB world. So, you know, following in suit with social closures and the economy shutting down, our chapter met virtually starting in April of last year. March, we were scrambling what to do to figure out what to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, it was great to meet in virtual. Like, we were so glad we had that option as an alternative to meeting in person physically. And then, you know, we continued to meet online, and we wanted to do more things than just meet online. Given the fact that COVID restricted us from meeting in person, we had to come up with an idea that, one, was engaging with our members and the community, and two, that was a safe way of engaging with each other. So with those two components, we brainstormed and we did a lot of thinking, and we threw ideas back and forth. I remember board meeting after board meeting, we just threw different ideas around. And then we came up with an idea of doing a virtual talent show. So since everything was virtual, we knew that was the first thing we needed to do, was make it virtual. But we wanted to also have it be something that engaged people and could have people come together, but yet be apart, if that's right. An oxymoron enough. you know, on top of that, we actually killed two birds with one stone, because we actually turned it into a fundraiser too. Mm-hmm. So by having that as you know, a way to raise money for our cause, we were able to do some other things too. Even though they were virtual, we still did other things because we had the funds to do them. So that's really the backstory of how Believe You Can came about. And it was just, you know, something that was so appropriate for the time. And, you know, we got a lot of positive feedback from it. And, you know, here we are for round number two.
Yeah. I mean, we were part of the planning committee, so maybe I don't want to toot my own horn too much, but maybe this is where Jan and Desmond, you guys can pop in and say, for the first time doing something like that, went off pretty well.
Absolutely.
I found it just wonderful. And Lisa, I think you did a wonderful job, and David, both of you, and Harriet too, because you helped with the announcing. The three of you did a wonderful job just emceeing it and making it smooth and fun and happy and upbeat. Thanks to all of you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, I think it came off well. You know, there was great audience engagement, and I think the all the different technologies for a platform like that were leveraged, and it was very enjoyable.
Right. Wow. It was nice to bring people together from basically all around North America. We had folks from Canada, yeah, and folks from out west in the U.S. and just about every other place. And to get everybody together to do their to do their thing was just a nice way. I just can't believe that we were able to pull something like that off. And of course, there were issues with a few things, but for the most part, it really went well. And I enjoyed doing it, and it was a lot of fun preparing. Jan, maybe you can talk a little about, you placed first, how you played the piano. How long have you been playing? Was that something you picked up as a kid? Give us some background on your musical journey.
Oh, thanks, David. I started taking formal lessons from a wonderful blind piano teacher when I was in fourth grade. And my parents and I guess, too, realized that I had some talent because I was able to play hymns, only hymns, nothing else, by ear. And my mom played the piano, my mom's mom played the piano, at least one of my mom's sisters played the piano. So we certainly had a history of piano playing in my family. So I took lessons for maybe 9 or 10 years. Did lots of those nerve-wracking recitals that I think I talked about last year too, never forget them. Was able to do a few performances in front of various groups. Entered a fine arts festival when I was in high school. Didn't win though. But I did win another year when I wrote a piece of music to go with the words of a hymn. You can see that hymns are a big part of my life. I've been playing the piano for a long time. The piece that I played last year was the first movement of Moonlight Sonata. And my grandpa, my mom's dad, always said, when you learn to play Moonlight Sonata, I'm going to rent Carnegie Hall. Well, of course, that never happened, but it was kind of a fun thing. He was one of these guys that liked to listen to opera on Saturday afternoons, so he loved music as well. So I come from a music-loving family. And it's a way for me to relax, and I still have a piano in my house, and I love it.
So do you still just kind of play around the house just as a form of relaxation?
I do. Mm-hmm. I never liked to practice when I was a kid. It was like, okay, you have 15 minutes or half an hour. And if you start asking me one more time how much more time you have, I'm going to make you practice even longer. So I'm not one of those musicians that just loves to sit and play for hours. I'm not. I will never say that. But the piece that I played last year and the piece that I'm playing this year are just beautiful pieces of music. And I just hope that they are enjoyable to those who listen. The piece I'm playing this year is shorter. It's a small prelude by Chopin, but it's very contemplative, kind of a minor key, the kinds of things that I like to play. And I'm excited to do this again. I did not sign up last year with any thought of winning a prize. I didn't even realize when I signed up or remember that there were cash prizes.
Yeah.
It was hugely fun to win. I don't know if I've ever had an experience quite like that. So it's something I'll never forget. And I hope other people win this year. But it's a wonderful way. I guess I'm doing it again because it's a fun way for me to help raise money for the chapter. And I'm not a real big fundraiser kind of person, but this is a way that seems to work really well for me. So that's really why I'm doing it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And Desmond, you were our second place winner last year, and we have opened up, when we initially announced that we were doing the show again this year, we wanted to make sure we got in some new talent. So the initial call to performers was to people who had not participated last year. About a week or so ago, we opened that up. And that is how both you and Jan came to be a part of the show again this year. So Desmond, same questions to you. Tell us a little bit about your musical background, your journey. You actually have, Jan has that hymns and classical musical interests. Yours seems to be jazz. So tell us all about that and then share whatever you want about doing the show last year and what you're looking forward to this year.
It all starts at the piano.
Everything starts with the piano, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, certainly as a kid, I had keyboards and such, and would always, you know, mess around and trying to play whatever I heard on the radio, that kind of thing. And eventually I, you know, I got joined band and things of that nature, but I was, a lot of it, I was self-taught. The music library with NLS was certainly a great resource. They have a lot of good instructional materials. So I was able to learn a lot of theory and whatnot later on. And as I said, I was in the school band. I did not play saxophone, honestly, until really recent. It was always an instrument I admired. I loved the timbre of it and just always wanted to play it. But I guess I got carried away with beating on stuff, and I did percussion when I was in the band. And so, but a few years ago, I had an opportunity to pick up a saxophone. I was at a music store. I was like, oh boy, well, this might be my opportunity. And so as you said, I do like jazz, but I like a variety of different things. I find myself playing a lot of R&B. I don't know, I'm still playing around with some things. Brian McKnight might show up this year at the talent show, or I don't know, Sarah McLachlan, maybe some Bill Withers. We'll see. Yeah. And so that's kind of where I am. But I just enjoy it. Like Jan said, I really didn't come into it with any particular expectations. I just knew that I love listening to other musicians. I'm really excited about, you know, us as blind people getting out there and sharing our talents. You know, I know at one time playing music was kind of one of those, oh, that's the blind trade or whatever. But I feel like today, you know, we have folks from all different backgrounds who just love music, and, you know, we play it as a personal art form, and it's just sharing that. And so that is so much what I'm looking forward to, is just seeing what other talent is out there this year.
Harry, you know, can you go into when everything was planned originally, we planned it around Meet the Blind Month, which now of course has a new name and a new acronym. And Can you talk a little bit about that and about White Cane Day, which is the day around where we usually plan?
Sure. Sure. Absolutely, David. And so Meet the Blind Month is something that the NFB initiated for October. And typically it's been, well, not typically, but for the past, you know, decade and a half or so, it's been October, and I don't quote me on that, the length of that, but it's been Meet the Blind Month for a good number of years. And this year, actually, President Rick Abono, the national president, and the you know, the board at the national level decided to change Meet the Blind Month to Blindness Equality Achievement Month. So same concept, where we're helping our community and society to see the potential of blind people and see what blind people can really do when we're given the opportunity and the tools to you know, create the lives that we want. Same idea, but just a different name. And that name, it helps to more accurately portray the picture that we want society to see, not just, you know, oh, blind people just come out in October, so let's meet them in October. You know, it has more of an inclusive feel to it, and it has more of an equity feel to it. And that's really what we want to strive for, not just in October, but throughout the entire year. It's just, you know, we're making those efforts even stronger, and, you know, making a unified front on behalf of blind people during specifically October.
Right. I do like the new name. I always thought Meet the Blind Month was a little clunky, and you know, just not just bringing the whole picture to everybody. So I do like that. I do like that name. And if you think back to when we were in the planning stages for this, is that what the driving force was to have this in October around White Cane Day?
Yeah, definitely. We actually wanted it specifically for Meet the Blind Month. I mean, we definitely wanted to do something, because, you know, we're a very active chapter, and, you know, we can't sit still. You know, we want to do stuff in our community. We want to educate others about blindness and help each other too. You know, there's blind people who are newly blinded, and, you know, they need to receive a positive message about blindness as well. So, you know, we wanted to do it, but we also specifically targeted it for October because of Meet the Blind Month, which is now Blindness Equality Achievement. And so we're going to continue that tradition and keep it in October. And it also coincides with White Cane Safety Day, which is October 15th. And our Believe You Can BYC is October 16th this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the month had a nice beam to it.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that's really, it's really special. I mean, that makes it all the more special. I mean, it would be a great event during any time of the year, but I think having it in the month where we're really, really focused on achieving equality is right. Even more special.
Yeah. I wonder if either one of you, and Jan or Desmond, neither one of you can jump in here. Have you gotten any feedback from last year from people outside of, you know, the blind and visually impaired community who may have seen your performance? And because, you know, Harry is just saying, like, you know, it's a way to sort of showcase, you know, strut our stuff a little bit, and to show people outside of our own world, you know, just how talented we are, you know, and I don't even want to say despite, but we're talented, period. You know, there's kind of a full stop after that. And this is a way to demonstrate that. Did you guys get any, or even, you know, without the show, like, have you gotten any feedback from people outside that just kind of solidifies why we even do this? Either
well,
one of you.
I will say that I was able to rope into buying tickets several family members and friends, and probably just about all of them sent feedback. Congratulations. And yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people got to see blind people on display in a good mm-hmm. sense. We got to showcase.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll be able to do that again this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You Desmond, know, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say in general, as I've, you know, continued to develop as a musician, I've gotten invitations. You know, I'll be planning a wedding with a piano player here soon. And there's been some talk of playing with some other musicians at church. And I feel like it's not just, oh, the amazing blind guy that plays saxophone, but it's truly a musicianship. Like, hey, you know, you really are somebody I like to jam with. And so that's really nice to kind of blend in that way.
Yeah, that's good.
I was going to suggest that one of my friends who I didn't even have to rope in. He actually volunteered to, you know, buy a ticket so he could help out the chapter. And he's always jumping in with, you know, when we do fundraisers and things like that. And he had mentioned to me that he couldn't get over how great the talent was in general and how good a job that everybody did during the show. Not just, you know, Lisa and Harriet and I and you guys, but, you know, everybody who participated, he was just surprised at how good the show was. And, you know, he thought he was going to watch for a couple of minutes and he ended up watching most of it. And he's fully sighted. And
oh, that's great.
So it was awesome to hear that from him. And, you know, I thought that was, you know, that was great. And, you know, again, just like with anything, you know, there's folks in the real world, whether they're blind or not, who can sing. I am not one of those people that can sing. I mean, I did not sign up to sing in this year's, in this year's show, but, you know, somebody is good at something no matter what. And any issues they have. And, you know, sometimes people forget that. And, you know, it is frustrating to a lot of us when they say, oh, did you see that blind guy do this? And, you know, it's basically, you know, yeah, he went and he found the bathroom on his own. Okay. Great. You know, that's great. Okay. So sorry, Lisa, you were going to jump in.
I was just saying that was great feedback from your friend. That's exactly what we want. And as the coordinator of the talent, I will tell you, we have a awesome lineup again. Jan and Desmond are just two of, I think there might be two others so far who were from last year, but the bulk, three that are also from last year. But we have a lot of fresh new talent, a lot of singers and musicians so far. I was kind of hoping for like a flamethrower or something, you know, unique like that, but but hey, you know, the deadline is yet to come, so who knows. But yeah, we're looking forward to another wonderful lineup. And I guess we should have also sort of thrown a carrot out there that we have increased our prize money this year, starting at $50, and we started at $25 last year. David, what are the right. second and third?
First is $150, second is $100, and then third, like you said, is $50. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely increase that. And you know, again, it should be another great show. And we have on with us not just two performers. And again, I said I'm not singing, so nobody has to worry about that. And in fact, I would probably win if I would win, because they would say, "Oh my God, this guy is so horrible. Let's buy him some lessons." But we do have a third performer on who will be playing the what, Harriet?
That's right,
the violin.
And do you know what you're going to play yet?
I do. Should I give a spoiler or should I?
It's up to you.
It's your call. Let's
keep them guessing.
Okay. Yeah. But let's this is actually, I'm not playing Chopin. So, we'll leave that to Jan. So I actually, you know, was very hesitant to perform because I'm just a beginner and I've only been playing for 11 months, but I wanted to help out the chapter. And, you know, also, I thought about it, you know, this is for others. You know, if other people can do it, I'm going to, you know, put myself out there and, you know, let people have a good time and hopefully, you know, they'll enjoy what I'm going to play. I think they will, I've always, been hesitant, but until this, you know, this year, this will be, you know, a very, like my very first time.
That's what I was going to ask. Is this your like debut public performance?
Well, it is kind of, so I did play actually at my sister's wedding that was just this past Saturday. So I did that. So this is one of my first and I played at my friend's. She was having like a little community. She works at a community theater and they did a talent night. And I performed in there, and I did horrible. So I got all my nerves out there. So,
yeah.
But I did great at my sister's wedding. So I'm looking forward to a really good performance.
Well, that,
not
that
just
brings
by me, but by all the performers.
That brings the question. So obviously you're not a kid anymore. And, you know, I think back, and so you've just started playing in the last year or so. When
yes.
I was a kid, when I was in second grade, I told my parents I wanted to play the violin. We went to the music store, I got a violin, went to school where I was going to learn. And I, you know, it was just a, you know, public elementary school. And they gave me the sheet music, which of course I couldn't see. And so 2 days later, we were returning the violin because there wasn't an internet at the time where you could look at how does a blind kid learn to play the violin. So there may be folks out there who are listening that maybe want to learn how to play an instrument. How did you learn it? How did you start it, and how things progress?
Okay, so good question. So learning an instrument, it doesn't matter if you're blind, you're sighted, you anybody can learn, as you know, as long as you're not tone deaf. But I actually kind of like Desmond. Well, actually exactly like Desmond and Jan, it all started out with a piano. I took piano lessons for many years as a kid, but my true love was the violin. And I always wanted to play the violin. But for some reason, when I was at school, my music teacher said, you got a musical gift there. I think you should pick up an instrument. Why don't you start with the piano? And I'm like, okay. And then I guess she talked to my parents, and my parents signed me up for piano lessons. And that's how I got started. So I played for a couple of years when I was a kid, and I stopped, you know, when I graduated high school. But don't ask me to play. I can't play Chopin. I don't remember. I mean, I did play Chopin, but I don't remember. And like, cause I haven't, you know, touched a piano in years. But now, like as an adult, I actually have the opportunity. Actually, my uncle, he bought me a violin a couple of years ago because he heard me play the piano, and he said, "Do you want to learn the violin?" Just, I don't know why he asked me that, but out of the blue, he asked me that. And I said, "I would love to play the violin. I've always wanted to play the violin."
Wow.
And so he sent me a violin. And for years, like, it sat in my closet because I was busy with work and things like that. And, you know, just now, like 11 months ago, I said, you know, I really want to play. I really, like, I always, you know, have admired it and thought it was just like the most beautiful instrument. And so I started taking lessons, and 11 months later I'm in the Believe You Can talent show.
And you didn't necessarily have an instructor that specialized in teaching blind students. You just had an instructor who taught people,
yes,
how to play,
correct,
the violin.
Correct. Same goes for the piano. Mm-hmm. I did learn how to read Braille music though when I was learning the piano, so that's which really helped me understand how, you know, notes and phrasing and musical key signatures and counting times and things like that helped me understand. It's kind of like Braille music is kind of synonymous with how literary Braille is for print, mm-hmm, is to print, and Nemeth code is to printed math. And, you know, Braille music is it's just exactly like the same thing as printed music, sheet music, but just in Braille. And, you know, I'm glad that I had that because I can't play by ear.
Right.
So that definitely, you know, gave me that foundation for learning how to play the violin. I mean, I've been able to like understand the concept of, you know, counting and notes and you know the circle of fifths for music and time signatures and, you know, minor and major scales and things like that, because I had that foundation from playing the piano.
Yeah. Desmond and Jan, did you guys have instructors specifically for blind or visually impaired, or just general music teachers?
I did not. As I said, started off in the school band. I went to a public school with sighted kids, and no one really knew anything about Braille music. Even my as good as they were, my teachers are blind and such. And so, but I think it helped, it did help that I naturally had a kind of an ear for music. And so kind of in reverse of Harriet, I started out, you know, playing by ear. But later on, I ended up teaching myself Braille music from some Braille transcribing books that they got me in. That was helpful, especially when I really got into piano and started learning theory and stuff. And even when I took some applied classes in college, and you know, you're playing that Bach and stuff, and it's just really nice to be able to go back and verify different things that you think you're hearing, and just kind of fill in the spaces and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And you, Jen?
I did have a blind piano teacher, and I don't know whether my folks thought I needed that or whether it just happened that, you know, how they even heard about her, I don't know. But I also learned Braille music when I was young. Yeah, you have to if you're going to play the piano, because of course you're learning each measure, memorizing it, and then moving on. So there's no sight reading for a blind person who's playing the piano or any other instrument for that matter. So I had a blind piano teacher, and I learned to read Braille music when I was quite young. She was a very good teacher. I don't know whether her blindness had any impact on, she had many sighted students, that's for sure. So she didn't just teach blind people by any means. She was good.
Wow. That's good. It's good to know that they're out there, like just as versatile as we are, so can the instructors be. So that's good that she wasn't just pigeonholed into only teaching either blind or visually impaired students.
Yeah.
So are you guys all busy practicing? I'm sorry, Harriet, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to jump in real quick and say, you know, like to that idea of, you know, the sighted world pigeonholing blind people into certain occupations. And, you know, I know people, you know, look at Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles and say, oh yeah, they're good. They're good because they're blind, you know, you know, like, or I bet you they have good ears, or, you know, and I'm sure we, as well as, you know, the three of us and David and Lisa, we've all heard people say, oh, you must have super hearing, or, you know, you know, like that, those kind of stereotypes. And, you know, even though this is a talent show where we're all, you know, we're all blind or visually impaired, and we're all doing something related to the creative performing arts type of category, but, you know, all of us are at different levels. You know, we've heard, you know, Jan and Desmond say that, you know, they're playing like jazz, and Jan's playing, you know, really complex classical music. And and then we have me somewhere, you know, in the middle, somewhere closer to the beginning. And then we have David, who's, you know, all the way out in left field. So, so, you know, it's not like it's kind of to show other people too that, you know, we're not all, you know, Stevie Wonder's out there in the Believe You Can talent show. We're just trying to have fun and showcase what the possibilities are. You know, we're not trying to show that, hey, we're better than everybody because we're blind.
Although it never fails. Seems like for the past few years, every time I walk into a restaurant, a Stevie Wonder song seems to come on.
I'm like, what's up with this? Well, maybe that's just your theme song, Desmond. You know,
Blind maybe Man Alert. Yeah.
As long as it's not superstition, right?
Oh, there you go.
Well, are you guys busy practicing? Are you all set for your sound check?
I'm in practicing. I'm still nervous, but I've been practicing. And what really is making me a little bit adding on to that nervousness is the technology issues. So, because sometimes, you know, that's one thing that's different about virtual than in person. You know, the technology, it's either hit or miss. And I'm hoping that it's a hit during the BYC night.
Yeah. And that's why I think we said it was really important to kind of do that with each performer this year. Just do kind of a little dry run, make sure your audio, you know, hookup is good. And if you're on camera, you know, do you have it positioned well? So we're trying as best we can to avoid any hiccups, but you know, hiccups are, you know, they're hiccups, you know, they don't give you an advance warning. Yeah. You know, they don't tell you they're coming. So, you know, but we can prepare as best we can. And, you know, I think sometimes those little faux pas or whatever you may call it, like they make it real, you know, that makes it very genuine and just not too stiff in rehearse. So
let's it happens everywhere. So it's not just with us. Yeah. What was that, Desmond?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, the hiccups is what makes it an art versus science. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And being able to kind of swing right back, you know, that is the test of a true performer.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of, as blind people, it's kind of how we live our lives. You know, just because we're blind doesn't mean we can't do something a sighted person does. We just have to do it a different way. And that, you know, we just have to figure it out sometimes on the fly. And, you know, with a performance like this, that's, you know, we have to do the same thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, guys, unless anyone wants to, you have anything you want to plug, this is a great opportunity to do some plugging. Desmond, Jan, Harriet, if you're at a community theater, lounge, church, whatever, you know, this is the time to plug away if you have anything.
Here's my plug. I hope everybody who's listening to this will go tell their friends and families and neighbors and coworkers and classmates and relatives and strangers on the streets about Believe You Can. Tell them it's a great night of performances and it's to support a great cause, the National Federation of the Blind Keystone Chapter. And it's also just great fun. So please come out and support us. Tickets are on sale now, and vote for me.
That was a shameless plug, right? Jan, Desmond, you guys have any last thoughts?
I just hope that lots of people will, as Harriet said, buy tickets and enjoy the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo, dog. I definitely looking forward to the Believe You Can talent show and just enjoying some old and new talent and just having a good time. So hope to see everybody in the house.
Yeah. You know what I just thought of? I love the name. I think the name says so much. And Harriet, I want to give you your props for coming up with the name Believe You Can. I think it's a perfect name for the show.
Aw, thank you. And I want to say thank you to the board for you know, agreeing to call it that. So that's, you know, props to the board for agreeing and making that motion to let that happen.
Yeah, it's a very fitting name.
Definitely is.
David, you got any last thoughts?
No, I don't have. Do you guys, if somebody wants to reach out to any of you, you guys on social media, anybody want to give some contact information if somebody wants to reach out about, you know, playing, you know, learning to play or anything like that? Anybody on social that wants to give out their handle or anything like that?
Well, I'm on Facebook, but I mean, I'm on it, but I'm not on it a lot. but the best way to get in touch with me is just to simply email me, and my email is goharriet00@hotmail.com, and it's all one word, goharriet00@hotmail.com.
Okay, thank you for that.
And I'm definitely on all the social media platforms, probably Facebook the most prominent, so you can definitely look me up on there, Desmond Jackson. That's D-E-Z-M-A-N Jackson. Email is also a great way to reach out to me at jackson.dezman@gmail.com. And love to hear from anybody and talk music, motivation, whatever.
Great.
I'm not a social media person, which will probably not surprise those of you who know me. So the best way to reach me is email, and my email address is jrlatuca, and that's LATTUCA@gmail.com. jrlatuca@gmail.com.
Well, thank you, Desmond. Thank you, Jan. Thank you, Harriet. Break a leg, believe you can. Saturday, October 16th, 7 o'clock, virtual. So anywhere and everywhere. And again, thanks guys for joining us tonight, and so looking forward to your performances.
Thank you so much, David and Lisa, for having us.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks again to Harriet, Jan, and Desmond for coming on tonight, and really looking forward to this year's show.
Yeah, I'm so proud to be a part of this, David. Once again, we have a great lineup. I'm so excited to hear Harriet play. What a treat that's going to be too. but yeah, it's going to be a great show. And I don't know if people know this, but all the performers, you are the lucky ones who this year are going to be able to take advantage of our increase in prize money. Last year, we started the prizes at $25. This year, they will start at $50. So $50, $100, and $150 for first place.
Yeah, great prize money. And and I'm sure that's that helps with all the preparation that they've done, and makes it worth their while to give it a go.
Yeah. Yeah. So once again, get your tickets, $10 for a single ticket, $25 for a watch party. Go to believeyoucan.live to purchase tickets. That's believeyoucan.live.
Yes. And also you could check out, there is a Facebook page associated with believeyoucan.live, and that would be facebook.com/believeyoucan talent show. Again, since I muffed my way through that, let's say it again, facebook.com/believeyoucan talent show. And that will get you to the Facebook page where you may see a video or two up there. We're trying to get last year's videos and chop them up a little bit, so you can take a look and see different performances from them. But I don't have those up at this point. But hopefully within the next couple of days.
A little teaser into this year's performance.
Yes.
Great show.
And the date of the show again is October 16th. So again, go to believeyoucan.live or the Facebook page to have a look and buy tickets. Again, like Lisa said, 10 and 25. And before we get out of here, I did want to just bring up the state convention is coming up. It is November 11th through the 14th, and it's going to be in Harrisburg. So an easy way for everybody in the state to get to, not quite in the middle, but easy to get to via Amtrak and several other mass transit type companies. The 11th through the 14th, go to nfbp.org/convention. You can find all the information there. There is a code that you can use for Amtrak if you're taking Amtrak. Thanks to Denise Brown from the Greater Philly chapter for providing that, and it is V819. And I have not booked my train tickets yet, but I have booked the hotel, and I have booked signed up for the convention itself and all my meals and all that sort of stuff. So again, pretty affordable to get there, and hope to see you there. We're going to have some sort of, Lisa and I will be presenting on Saturday.
Yes.
And hopefully doing at least one show from there, but we'll see how it goes time-wise. We're not 100% sure yet if we'll be able to do more. So hopefully you will be able to see us do a show live. And of course, come up to us and let us know what kind of things you'd like us to talk about on upcoming episodes of White Canes Connect. In the coming weeks leading up to the convention, we will have different folks on from around the state affiliate to talk about different components of the convention and to get you kind of excited to go to Harrisburg. And it's always a lot of fun. And and I look forward to going. Lisa, I'm sure you look forward to it as well.
Yeah, I was listening to you. You're so ahead of me. I did register, but I have to get my hotel and travel plans. But yeah, I always like convention. It's just always good to see people. And I'm glad that we feel safe and confident enough to go in person.
Right. And that's and that's the other thing. You know, it's at some point, it's you've just, you know, when it's flu season, you have to sometimes take a chance and you go out and you just have to practice, you know, either distancing or the mask wearing, whatever you feel comfortable with. I know I'll take a bunch of alcohol wipes with me. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, that I can't get past. You know, as blind folks, you're touching everything, you're feeling for everything, whether it's elevator numbers, you know, floor numbers or whatnot. So I went through a whole bunch of those. I traveled to New York in September for a few days and, you know, tried to use my elbow on just about anything I could. You know, my elbow doesn't know what, you know, what a four feels like or or what the lobby button feels like and things like that. So, you know, sometimes you do have to use your fingertips.
Sometimes there's a knuckle trick, you know, press buttons with your knuckle.
Right.
Your finger.
So. Right, right, right. So, so get to nfbp.org/convention. You can find out all of the information about the convention, and we really do hope to see you out there in Harrisburg the 11th through 14th of November.
Yeah, so thank you, David. Another great show. Hope you guys will join us for Believe You Can, October 16th.
Yes, and Lisa, yes, another great show, and thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Again, October 16th, Believe You Can, November 11th. The state convention. And again, if you've got other things to talk about from your chapter, let us know. whitecanesconnect@gmail.com. Please get in touch with us and let us know, because we'd be happy to talk about them and give them a little bit of, give them a little press.
Yeah, let us hear from you.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
I really hope you've enjoyed the bonus episode of I Can't See You Podcast, episode 147. Please give me your feedback. ICan'tSeeYouPodcast@gmail.com. You can find the show notes over at ICan'tSeeYou.com/147. Remember, I Can't See You sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 characters long. ICan'tSeeYou.com/147 for the show notes. I really appreciate you listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe or follow, whatever they're calling it these days, wherever you're listening to podcasts. I do appreciate that as well. I hope you're staying safe, you're well, and I will talk to you tomorrow with episode 148, another bonus episode.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.